on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield IMG College, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
It's another edition of YokeCast, and this week we talk a lot about volleyball. The director of the NIVC tells us about the tournament that's in its third year, and we start this week with athletics director of the University of South Dakota, David Herbster.
David, we get into this week, and you know, coming into the week, we knew that there was going to be a lot of home events, and the home events grew with South Dakota Volleyball getting the opportunity to host in the NVIC, which they'll get the chance to host this week, and it'll be hopefully a lot of fun for that group. Let's start with volleyball, because that was disappointing Sunday night. I know for a lot of people that were watching that show, and the longer that it went, you just felt a pit in your stomach continue to grow, and when South Dakota's name never popped up after a perfect Summit League regular season and a 27-2 overall mark. Very disappointed for the group, because it feels like this is a team that, if you watch them, passes the eye test and can compete with about anyone. And so I'm sure for this group, some downtime of being disappointed and now trying to get themselves ready for the NIVC.
It certainly was. You know, being in the room with them, you could certainly feel the air kind of, you know, whoosh out of everybody when you know your name wasn't called, and it without a doubt was disappointing. I thought we had put together an incredible year. We've talked about it before. Two losses, one in September and unfortunately one in November. In my conversations with committee members, you know, I understand when they have to pick and choose teams at the, you know, the last four in and the last four out, I realized we did not have any top 50 wins, even though we had, going into the season, had scheduled teams that we had anticipated having a top 50 RPI, and that didn't end up happening. But you had the second longest winning streak in the country at 24. You're 27-2. You finished the regular season undefeated. Our strength of schedule hurt us, and while it, you know, non-conference, it was good. Once we got to the conference portion of the season, that's when it really dropped. And they look at strength of schedule. They look at top 50 wins. You know, those are things that were, in a couple ways, really out of our control. You're really putting some of that control in the hands of other teams to be able to compete at a higher level. So that being said, you don't make the NCAA tournament. It's, you know, for, you know, losing in the conference semifinals doesn't help, but now you've got a chance to go win another championship and another trophy. And we've certainly seen that before here with other teams that were certainly disappointed in not making the NCAA tournament, but being able to turn the page and make a run in another tournament. And, you know, I think most people will look back and remember what we did in the WNIT and that type of run. And in my conversation with Leanne, the toughest matches that we're going to have are the first couple matches. You know, you've got to be able to turn that disappointment around into that desire to win again. We can't let that, this team's not going to let that disappointment, you know, get in their way now that they have the opportunity to continue to play. You know, between the NCAA tournament and the NIVC, there's 96 teams left that have the opportunity to still play for a trophy, and you have to remember that. And I think that's something, too, that we have need to make sure our fans remember. As disappointed and as outraged as they are, we still need them to show up. You know, if you're that mad about it, then get in here and yell your, you know, yell your lungs out for these girls who will continue to lay it on the line and look to win. We need our fans to kind of follow suit and do the same and still get behind this team and support them. Because looking at the bracket and how everything stacks up, you know, again, things do have to fall in place along the way. Not only do we have to be good, but we have to be lucky a little bit too here and there. But there's a chance to win a trophy again. And that's ultimately, you know, kind of what that experience that we look to provide for our student athletes. That's why we made every effort to make sure that we could host. And especially over the course of the next week, when we have about sprinkle in one, two, three, four, five, whatever it is, basketball games in the middle, we made sure that we could find a way to play at home on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, I think one Coyote fan I saw on Twitter turn the page by saying, tweeting out, if there's a trophy, we want it. So it doesn't matter the tournament. If there's a trophy, we want to go get it. And you guys have given this team an opportunity to play at home where they've been very, very good this year, obviously, and have won a lot of matches. What goes into the decision of trying to position the athletic department into hosting, whether it's just for the rounds one and two or beyond?
So when we put in our bid, it was, you know, our bid was nothing exorbitant. It was just kind of the base bid. And it was more about, more work went into making sure that we could fit it in between days where we already had basketball games scheduled. And that's not as tricky as it is trying to find practice time for everybody. We have to find practice time for four volleyball teams as well as basketball teams on the, you know, that kind of bookend this. I mean, we'll have a volleyball match here on Friday, that second round game, as well as a men's basketball game that night, as well as a women's basketball game the next day. So in between there, you're looking at there's four volleyball teams that need to find time to practice and potentially four basketball teams that need to find time to practice too. So that has been just a matter of this is what we do and that let's get back to work and find a way to make it all happen. But knowing what our success has been in hosting tournaments, it was a pretty easy decision to make sure that we put in a bid and positioned ourselves to be able to host the first couple rounds. I'd much rather have them play here with a better chance to win than sending them on the road, because right now the tough part is you send them on the road after losing in the semis of the Summit League. I'm not sure what I give our chances on the road.
Sure. Yeah, and certainly they've earned it, opportunity to play at home with how good they've been and just throughout the entire season. You talk about all those practices with all those teams. Does it have to be on the game floor, or is this a benefit of the new building with having the extra practice gyms that South Dakota has now?
It doesn't all have to be on the main floor, because I think everybody at one point in time is going to be either on the main floor or the back gym. And so it's just a matter of, you know, it's a little bit of a tightrope, because I don't want to, set back or so inconvenience our current teams that are in season, but yet, and those are the basketball teams, I can't dismiss them and put them aside because of the volleyball, but I can't dismiss and put aside volleyball because we have basketball going on. So it's a little bit of a juggling act, but I think with our staff, what Corey Jenkins and Cameron Wilson have been able to kind of put together as far as a fair practice schedule for everybody, I think having this facility and having those three courts in the proximity that we do is invaluable, because we couldn't do this if we were still in the dome.
Sure. Yeah, no question about it. Well, kudos to everyone who's put in the effort to find a plan to make this happen. It'll be a fun, hopefully fun for a lot of fans to watch this volleyball team. Thursday night, they'll play Central Michigan. And then if they win that, they'll play Friday afternoon against either Kansas City or UNLV. Another team that's been having a lot of success early in the season is the women's basketball team. And this week, they got into the coaches' rankings, still receiving votes in the AP Top 25, but got into the coaches' rankings at number 24. This is the second straight year this team has found itself at one point or another in the season ranked in the top 25, and it's always neat to be ranked, but when you start seeing a mid-major program like South Dakota sustaining the success, I think it says a lot about where the program's at right now.
You know, it's really tough early on in the season like this to get ranked as a mid-major. And certainly if you look at the schedule that we put together, I think that's even more impressive that for what they've been able to do. You kind of crack that top 25, and you know, you go back and forth on the AP top 25 and the coaches poll, and I always put a little bit more stock in the coaches poll, because those are the coaches that are voting. Those are the ones that have to go out and game plan or play against everybody else. And so for what they've accomplished so far, and again, second year in a row, it's that consistency that you look for, that high level of achievement that, you know, being ranked is, you know, in some of those matches, you might be, you know, we won a couple, we could have lost a couple that we won, and things could be totally different. So that's why you really need to appreciate where we're at right now and the work that's gone in, because a lot of those have happened on the road as well. And, you know, being able to go on the road, whether it be a neutral site or someone else's court, and win those games is tough. And so certainly, you know, being able to win the games at home is, you know, this crowd gives you that little extra boost and that little extra advantage. But, you know, but we lost one. You know, we lost against Missouri State at home, which, you know, in some, it can be, you know, if you have to, you can look at it as a positive, right? Because it gives you a chance to reset and recalibrate and go back to work early on in the season and make some adjustments and learn from those things. I think a loss then certainly helps us in the next 7 to 10 games prior to getting into the conference portion of the season and putting ourselves in difficult situations both at home and on the road that then we look forward to the Summit League season, and that's only going to make us that much better.
Well, and I think when you look at being ranked at this time, you know, coaches are watching tape of not just their conferences right now. They're seeing mid-major tape, and I think that says a lot about what they're seeing. And to get ranked after you lose a game, even though they've won a couple since then, but it was the next ranking that came out, right, since that loss, I think that says a lot about what these coaches are just seeing when you talk eye test with this basketball team right now.
No, you're right, because they're not just looking at your overall record. They're not just looking at your last game. They're kind of taking your body of work into consideration. And the more we get into the season, the more games that everybody else has played. And so sometimes those wins are bigger wins because of that other team continuing to win, or losses are better losses because that team continues to win along the way. So I think they do their due diligence in taking a look at the breadth of the schedule and the breadth of games that people have played and the work that's been done. And so, you know, that being said, it's a great point that we're still ranked despite losing a game from the previous rankings till now, which really goes to show you how high we were in some people's eyes prior to that Missouri State game, but also more impressive our last two wins were.
Yeah, well, they played a challenging schedule and so far handled it well. Now that you're ranked, you got to keep winning if you want to stay in that top 25. Men's basketball, I know that they have lost a couple here, but they have really got off to a good start to the season. A little bit different than last year, and I look at this most recent game against 22nd-ranked Washington. They're right in the game with about 5.5 minutes to go, and just unfortunately things didn't go well for them in the last 5 minutes as far as trying to score, but it says a lot about the men's basketball team. I think where they're at right now with a 6-3 record and just going toe-to-toe with the number 22 team in the country.
Right, and it's awfully difficult to win on the road, let alone win on the road against a ranked team from the Pac-12 or whatever conference they're in. So they're kind of getting through a really gauntlet part of their schedule with playing the last four on the road. And so the team is still young in some aspects and yet at the same time veteran in other areas. We, like any team, the one thing that you've got to begin to learn is how to close out those games. When you get to that point towards the end of the game and it's tight, you have to find ways to make a shot, get a rebound, get a defensive stop, and certainly make free throws. So, get this team back to being 100% healthy. A good part about where they are right now is from the rest of the December, we don't travel again until the end of December. And so it'll be nice to have to be at home, sleep in your own bed, and to get back into more of a routine and be able to springboard that into the Summit League play.
Well, how's the dome coming along? I know that you had a video out earlier this week and on Twitter about the stadia being completed, which I know fans have seen that one hole on the one side of it for pretty much the football season. But now that they're not going to see football and probably won't be in the dome very much, they'll be wondering how updates are going. So how are things with the dome right now?
It's really nice not to see that hole on the north end. When they moved the crane out this week and filled in the final pieces of stadia, that precast concrete that the seating is going to go on. So being able to finish that off, yeah, you're right. So you're not going to see, not a lot visibly is going to change. So much of that work now is going to get done underneath. We're almost complete on getting both bridges set on the west side as far as where the entrances are. So that's still, knock on wood that we get some continued to have some good weather. That's kind of a relevant term around here. When it's 40 degrees and sunny and no wind, you think it's a summer day. But we've got to have a little bit of help out with weather for some of those elements that have to get done outside. But inside, everything underneath behind is now the weather's not an issue once you're inside. So while fans might not see a lot happening, they've got a lot going on underneath with getting things filled in under there. So on target, still working towards our end goal of being done in July of next summer. And you wish you could bring people in there and kind of take them and give them a look, but it's still an active construction zone. So that's not an option for us. I do think, though, down the line, we need to kind of take a look at some ways to give people a tour of what is going on down there so people can get a sense or a semblance of what is happening, what do these spaces look like. Even then, once you do that, it's really still going to be very difficult to put it in perspective unless you're actually standing in there realizing, okay, well, this area over here is storage. This is a locker room. This is those different spaces still don't mean much unless you're actually physically inside it.
Yeah, well, I think you just need to strap a GoPro to your head and walk you through it, and that'll be our virtual tour. So you'll give us a good perspective.
Yeah, I'll give you the bird's eye view is what I give you. It's like, well, this isn't how I normally see things. But you do get, and that's, now that you say that, I kind of wish you didn't, because I can guarantee I can see Kelsey and Jaron strapping a GoPro to my head and tell me to go walk through there. Everybody will get an idea of what it is that I go through when I have to duck through doorways.
Yeah.
And that camera's like looking down and coming back up again.
Well, I hope that happens. I'll look forward to it now. David, really appreciate the time as always. Get some sleep tonight, because we've got home events now the rest of the week. So I know it'll get really busy for a lot of the staff. And I know a lot of people appreciate the effort they're putting in. But thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
The National Invitational Volleyball Championship got underway yesterday, and tonight the South Dakota volleyball team will play in the tournament for the first time. The tournament, much like the WNIT and others, was created to give more teams a chance to play in the postseason. It's operated by Triple Crown Sports, which is based in Fort Collins, Colorado. This week, I had a chance to catch up with the director of the tournament, Jared Rudiger. South Dakota gets its postseason volleyball underway on Thursday. They'll play through Thursday and hopefully on Friday and try to continue on in the National Invitation Volleyball Championship, which of course is secondary tournament to the NCAA tournament. And we're joined by the director of the NIVC, Jared Rudiger. Jared, first of all, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. I know it's a busy time and an exciting time of year for you guys as you get set to put on these tournaments.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having us. We are super excited about the field of 32 teams that we have in the NIVC this year.
When we talk about the NIVC, this is a tournament that I know some people are still learning about. When did the NIVC come about?
Yeah, so it was sanctioned back in the 1995. And then just recently got reestablished in 2017. We're currently working under a waiver through the NCAA right now. And so the last 3 years, including this current 2019 field, we're under a waiver with the NCAA to allow us to run an additional tournament outside the NCAA tournament. So we're on really reestablishing the event now in year three is where we're at with the current field.
Triple Crown Sports is the organization, and of course the same organization that runs the WNIT, which South Dakota has been familiar with over the last several years. Was it the success of the WNIT that Triple Crown Sports looked at and said, maybe we should do this with volleyball and softball and some other sports?
Yes, I would say potentially that was our first wrapped in the college world was obviously the NIT with Renee and the women's side of things. The game of volleyball as a whole, I believe, is growing across the country. On the youth side, it's one of the largest, fastest female growing sports in the 12 through 18 year old range. We also run a huge youth event that has become the most recruited club event in the country. So our connections with the college coaches and groups of coaches that kind of helped us spearhead potentially getting this together, 5 to 6 years ago when we started doing the research on it. So those two things hand in hand were probably the two key factors in getting the NIVC back on the map.
Jared, when you look at this tournament, what do you think the goal of the NIVC as a whole is?
The number one goal is we want to give players and colleges an opportunity to play for a championship. There's a lot of parity right now in volleyball. As South Dakota is well aware, unfortunately being one of the first teams left out of the NCAA tournament, you know, giving them an opportunity, other schools like a Georgia Tech or Wyoming, you know, last year, 2 years ago, Ole Miss, last year, Iowa State, just giving players, you know, in the college level scene a chance to play on after a grueling regular season is really our number one goal. And number two is also education for coaches. A lot of schools in the RPI range of 65 to say 150 don't ever really get the opportunity possibly to run to play past Thanksgiving. And so coaches that are able to extend their seasons, it's been a huge factor for them to get, you know, on the road during finals week, after Thanksgiving, have you plan vacation, all those things that some schools never get the opportunity to do if you don't make the NCAA tournament.
You know, we've kind of seen this with the WNIT, and the NIVC is very similar in that you are going to have a field full of teams that are going to be, some of them extremely disappointed they're not in the NCAA tournament, and some of them really excited about playing in a postseason tournament who really didn't think they had a strong shot of getting to the NCAA tournament. So it's really kind of a neat mix and really makes it exciting.
100%. I mean, it's definitely a good blend. We're still, you know, from a tournament standpoint, we get turned down by a lot of schools that believe it's the NCAA or bust sort of environment for their program, which we know that our tournament's not meant for everyone, and it's not meant for everyone every year. There's a lot of different scenarios that come into play. You know, are you one of the first ones left out of the NCAA tournament? Are you a mid-major program that only gets one bid from your conference to the NCAA tournament and doesn't have a conference tournament, for example, the Mountain West? You know, and so there's a lot of factors that play into it. You know, and it's exciting to see, you know, who is it, who's going to show up and play tough for, you know, 2 to 3 weeks to make a run in this event. You know, and also it's helped with, if you talk to some of the awesome stories that are out there, the Rices of the world, the Texas States of the world, you know, those programs played with us 2 years ago and now are in the top 25 RPI schools in the NCAA tournament. You know, so recruiting has been a key factor. College coaches have told us, you know, one, we didn't know about the NIVC, but one, youth athletes didn't know about our university and volleyball until we were able to play in a postseason tournament and have a little bit more social media presence and TV presence and that sort of thing.
Jared Rudiger, my guest, he's the director of the NIVC. South Dakota will have play in that this week, hosting for three other teams on Thursday, with the winners advancing to Friday. Jared, let's talk about the process here, because you guys end up having a late night on Sunday after the NCAA selection show to make sure that your tournament is put together. And I'm sure for some of it, you kind of draw out a map before the selection show, but without knowing for sure who gets in and who's left out, some of that is up in the air. When does the process start for your group trying to determine who might be in your field?
Yeah, good question. So it really starts about October 1st. We start tracking, obviously RPI comes every Monday starting the first week in October. So we start tracking all conferences starting October 1st all the way through Selection Sunday. And then, you know, obviously with this event, it is not sanctioned by anyone. Obviously teams do have to pay to play. So, you know, we start making a lot of proactive phone calls based on what we're seeing in conference standings, RPIs, and so that whole so we start getting contracts in throughout October into November, and then, you know, when you get in the last 2 to 3 weeks of the season, there was, I think, 17 to 18 conference tournaments that took place the weekend prior to ours, obviously South Dakota, like in the Summit League, and so we have a good idea in that last week who made the field of NCAA teams based on, you know, winning the conference tournament and or finishing conference standings. And then that last week, really, it's grinding out geographics. We try to attempt to have geographically, you know, charter buses and versus flying people all over the country. And so we start breaking that out into pockets and quads. And then we start looking at common opponents. We don't want to have anyone play anyone from their conference or someone they played it in that regular season or just in their conference or any opponent during the season, and so thankfully we were able to get a different opponent for every every first round matchup this year in the NIBC, which was pretty important to us. And then on Sunday, it's about a 14-hour day. Saturday, Sundays are kind of long days. We don't know. There's a lot of, as you know, South Dakota was on the bubble this year. Georgia Tech was on the bubble. Northern Iowa was on the bubble. So we know there's a handful of schools that have contracted with us that if they don't make the NCAA tournament, they play with us. And so, you know, you're down to the last, you know, we had some irons put in place based on what we thought was going to happen, but we don't officially know that until the selection show comes out. And then it's a hour and a half grind of making sure we did all of our due diligence and we're accurate, and we go from there.
When you talk about hosting, because this is a tournament that will be played at host sites the entire way through the championship, how do you determine a host institution?
There's a few factors that play into it. One is their just their venue and how their attendance has been throughout the year. Number two is primarily a location, geographically. Where are they located? Can we get some buses, you know, schools that can get on a bus to get to that university versus flying? One of the factors we do play into it is overall RPI standing. So, for example, our, you know, South Dakota finished 40 in the RPI, 38, 34, or something like that, 39, 40. You know, they're one of the first four out of the NCAA tournament. Definitely need to be granted a nod to host, even though we're flying two schools to, you know, to South Dakota. And then the fourth one is who's willing to host throughout all rounds. You know, so if I believe, you know, I have a third and fourth round host and a potential championship host, those schools that have put their resources, you know, because it takes a lot of people to host a tournament on the university side, on the campus side of things. And if those schools are committed to doing that, then I'm committed to allowing them to host. And so those are really the three to four factors that we take into. There's others, but those are the primary four that we look at.
So you're saying those teams who host in the first and second round have pretty much committed to the idea of hosting the entire way through if their team continues to win?
Not necessarily. There is some that have and some that have not. Correct. So if it's a host university in the same region, have a very similar RPI, and are geographically in a good location where they have a major airport and or I can drive a bus or get buses there, then I would look at the overall commitment level of them playing and hosting the entire time if they keep winning.
When you look at the entire field as play gets underway this week, what excites you about this year's field in the NIVC?
You know, we have three Power Five conference schools. Again, last year we had three. So, you know, it's exciting to get those Power Five conferences that can commit to playing in this event. And it's not just a major, mid-major field. The second thing is we have, in the NCAA field and our field, there's a lot of parity. On any given day this year, I believe volleyball, there anybody can be beaten and anybody can beat somebody. And so there's a lot of good volleyball teams in our bracket, and really, you know, a lot of first round matchups that could go either way, which is exciting for us. And we also, we're excited to see where, you know, the final four, you know, it's really like gambling. You have no idea where you're going to land in the next round and where you're going to go. So that's exciting to me. It's exciting for the teams, exciting for the coaches and the fans. And we have some top programs that can make some runs in this program, one being your guys' university.
Well, I know fans are excited for it, so hopefully the team performs well. Jared, great stuff. Really appreciate the time and learning more about the NIVC. I know it's an exciting week for your group as you begin this tournament, so enjoy it, and hopefully the tournament throughout the next few weeks goes very, very smoothly. Thanks a lot for the time.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Good luck.
Before we wrap up the show this week, let's take a look at upcoming events in Coyote Athletics. Tonight, Coyote Volleyball Team opens play in the NIVC against Central Michigan at 7 o'clock. Friday, South Dakota will host the NIVC second round with winners from Thursday's games. And men's basketball hosts a red-hot Mount Marty College team at 7 o'clock. Track begins the season at the SDSU Holiday Open. Saturday, track continues at the SDSU Holiday Open in Brookings, and women's basketball hosts Coppin State at 1 o'clock. Monday night, the men's basketball team is at home to challenge Alabama State at 7 o'clock.
Tuesday night, we'll host the Coyote Report at the Old Lumber Company in downtown Vermilion. Show starts at 6 o'clock. Wednesday, women's basketball will welcome the Lancers of Mount Marty College. That's this week in Coyote Athletics. Catch a game, match, or meet soon. That's going to do it for us this week on Yotecast. Thanks for taking time to listen, and please subscribe and give us a rating. As always, we would love to hear your feedback by emailing yotecast@usd.edu. I'm John Thayer. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon. Go Yotes!
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Coyote Sports Network.